Today our theme actually is build my house. Build my house. So I would like to share for a fair bit, but I would like I think I need to finish by 12 o'clock. I try to do it. The message is build my house. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the time we can gather together, young and old. And we thank you the time we can co-work together, do some games and activity. Lord, may now, as we settle down, we would like to read your words and meditate on your words so that we know what is your heart and how you desire us to learn to build your house. So we commit this time to you. We ask the Holy Spirit speak to us, surpassing our limitation, but speak to our hearts. We also thank you that we have some year six boys and girls joining us this morning. We commit them to you as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep. what I try to share with you this morning is on the book of Haggai. This book, we have looked at it and read it and discussed and listened to message in last young adult camp. And I understand that a lot of us hasn't joined the young adult camp few weeks ago, yeah. So, I think it is a good chance for us to look at this book here now. As we go through this book, if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. If you don't have it, we can look at the screen. There is a lot of background in this book. We are going to look at the whole book, if it is possible. So I will look at it. Try to be at a high level because of the time. So this book, Haggai, the first verse of chapter 1, Haggai, saying that, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is the starting point of the book of Haggai. But actually, the background of it is very, there's a lot of things happen before this verse as the background and the context. So in this verse, talk about Darius the king. Who is Darius the king? We can look at that very complicated chart. Very complicated. Okay, so Darius is this one, the great. Darius the first is the king. And Darius the king of Persia, over there. Kings of Persia. Okay. So, he rules Persia during the period 520 BC and 486 BC. From here to here. So you can go to look at the timeline on top. So, but before we can understand the background of this book well or adequately, we need to know what happened before the king of Darius of Persia. So before Darius, Babylon conquered Judah, the remaining kingdom of the whole Israel nation. Conquered Judah and took the Jews in captivity to Babylon. This is God's discipline to Israel people because they sin against God and because they sin against one another. But to be more precise, Babylonian king took the Jews in captivity to Babylon at three times.
Can you see the...
Oh, yeah, sorry. So this, you can see there are three, maybe I'm not used to use it. Okay, anyway, there's a three captivity during the time. On the left-hand corner, top corner. The first captivity is at 605 BC, and the second one is 597 BC. The third one is 586 BC. There's three captivity. The first captivity is Daniel. You know the Daniel? Daniel and the royal family taken captive to Babylon. So you're down there, you can see Daniel. And then the second one is 597 BC. Ezekiel and the professionals. Some professionals, some middle class in Judah place, they are taken captivity. So around this time, 597. And the third captivity is at 586. So all of the remaining Jews in the Judah place are taken captivity to Babylon, except for some very, very poor people remaining in Jerusalem, in Judah place. So this is the background. When the Jews were taken to Babylon, God promised them through Jeremiah that he will bring them back to their homeland after 70 years in Babylon, when the discipline and punishment was finished. So the prophet Jeremiah prophesied that in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10, it said, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Bring back to their homeland. So this was actually fulfilled in the history of Cyrus, by Cyrus the king of Persia, Cyrus. After 70 years of the first captivity at 605 BC, that was happened. They go back, what's happened at in 536 BC. 536 BC. 536 BC. They began to go. This was also recorded in the book of Ezra and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. And also it's recorded in some ancient historical writings. This one is you can find this one in the Olympic Park. So Cyrus the Great, he is the king of Persia. He before Darius, he conquered Babylon at 539 BC and took over Judah from Babylon. An ancient world history told us that. Upon conquering a kingdom, the king Cyrus usually allowed the local officials to maintain their position. This way, the administrative infrastructure remained intact. He also accommodated the cultural, the religious practice of the lands for those people he conquered. So to win their respect and secure the loyalty of those traditional elites in the kingdoms he conquered. So so here we see that this statue talk about Cyrus of the Great, who found the city. Cyrus is depicted in Babylonian costume and Jewish helmet, and with two wings and a short Persian beard. So you can see he is very accommodating to different kind of culture and religion in order to win the people he conquered. The God of the Bible is a sovereign God who governs all mankind and their history, including the politics and the heart of kings. So the Lord has called Cyrus at that time to allow the Jews to go back to their homeland and supported them to rebuild the temple for their God. So eventually, there were about 50,000 people went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple at 536 BC. You know, we can see here that began the rebuilding of the temple. So if we see Cyrus, the king of Persia, first charter of human rights, people regarded Cyrus as the first charter of human rights. And there's some, if you're interested, you can go to the Olympic Park to see the writings of that. Okay, I don't have time to go through this. This is all in history. Now, but the history told us that after these Jews, 50,000 people, go back to Jerusalem, they lay the foundation of the new temple, prepare to build it, rebuild it. However, they later stopped because of opposition and an attack of their enemies. Sometimes when we want to serve God, Satan will do some work to oppose us, to attack us, to discourage us. This is what happened at that time. Once they stop, they may think to stop for a while, but actually they stopped for almost 16 years. So from 534 BC to 520 BC, 16 years around, they stopped the whole work. Until the time God sent his servant Haggai to speak to the returned Jews, to rebuild them, to encourage them, to remind them to rebuild the temple. Don't forget to rebuild the temple. So now we go back. We talk about Darius. We talk about the background, and now we go to the Haggai prophet. He is the one to convey God's message to God's people. And also we come across Zerubbabel. He is the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Governor. Actually, he's not only a governor. In the eyes of the Cyrus, he's a governor. Actually, he's a descendant of King David. He passed the descendant later to Jesus Christ, the real king. And this Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, he's the governor of Judah. And also, the word come upon also to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And this Zerubbabel and Joshua, the governor, and also the high priest, they were leaders of the Jews. And they signify our Lord Jesus, who is the Messiah, being the everlasting king and the everlasting high priest. So in short, the context of the book of Haggai is, firstly, the Judah kingdom sinned against God, and God sent discipline and punishment to the Jews. And because of that, nearly all the Jews were then taken captivity to Babylon. But later, soon later, after 70 years, God fulfilled his promise to free them to go back to their homeland to build the temple. And indeed 50,000 people responded to God's calling to go back to rebuild the God's destroyed temple, destroyed by the Babylonian king 70 years ago. And they successfully rebuilt the foundation of the new temple. But due to the enemy's attack and disruption, they stopped rebuilding God's own house. And they stopped nearly for 16 years. And then God sent the prophet Haggai to encourage them to return, the returned Jews to rebuild his house. So we have spent a bit of time to go through the background. But this background is important to us. And then we come to the first message. The first message. The first message is spoken on the first day, and then later continue to the 24th day of the sixth month of the Darius the king, the second year. So in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord come by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And then from verse 2, the message comes. Thus say the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. So here, I deliberately highlight rebuild the house of the Lord in bold letter, in capital letters. This is the theme of the first message. The first message is to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then we come to verse 3 and 4. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled house while this house lies in ruins? In these two verses, it talks about they neglect God's ruined house. But they have their own very comfortable panel houses. And then verse 5 to 7, he said, now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm, and he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. So here God talks about these people. They forget God's house. They forget God's house. They only care for their own house. And then verse 7, he said, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. The Lord asked them to go up to the hills and bring wood to build a house. The Lord wants to encourage them to focus and care for God's house in order to build God's house. And then he said, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, so that the Lord can be pleased, so that he can be glorified. You look for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because my house that lies in ruin, while each of you busies himself with his own house, therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. And then the Lord continues. I don't have time to go through all the scripture, but we know that the people and the two leaders, they obey the voice of the Lord.
And then
God said to them again, I am with you. And then the luster of the spirit of Zerubbabel and the governor of, and the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant, the people in that place in Jerusalem, in the place of Judah. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of the host, their God. This is on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. So that means here, God give them a message. Rebuild my house. Build my house. Because of time, I can't go through the second message, the third message, and the fourth message. But what basically the first message is, don't care only for your own house or your own things. Care for God's house. The second message is, when they just start their work, they have a lot of discouragement. So the Lord, in the second message, encourage them, be strong. Be strong to build. So there are three be strong. To Zerubbabel, to all the people. Zerubbabel and Jehoshaphat. Why can they can be strong? Because the Lord is with them. Be strong to work, to build, for I am with you. So the second message is very clear. Don't fear. Even you might come across discouragement or attack or disruption, continue. Don't stop again. Be strong. And then the third message. And also, not only be strong, and the Lord will promise that I will fill this house with precious stone, with gold and silver. And I will give this place peace. And then the third message. The third message, if we have time later, or if you go through it at home, the message is consider and purify yourselves. This is in the Haggai chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. The main message is, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. After the people, they want to serve the Lord, build the house of the Lord, and then the Lord need to speak the third message to them. You are unclean. The content of this few verses talk about if you touch something unclean, if you are unclean, if you touch the holy thing in the temple, will it make the holy thing in the temple clean? No, you will defile the holy objects, holy things in the temple. But even if the holy temple, the holy things, if the holy thing touch you, if you are unclean, will the holy thing make you clean? No. That means if you are sinful, if you touch something, you will make the things unclean, make it sinful. But if you are not sinful, if you are holy, you can't make other sinful things purify them. Only God can. Just like a flu. If you have COVID-19 or if you have your flu, a healthy person, a sick person, when they come together, the healthy person can't purify, heal the sick one. But rather, the sick person will contaminate, will be contagious to the healthy person. So the Lord used this to demonstrate you need to be clean. You need to be holy. So when we learn to build God's house, we need to learn to live a holy life, a clean life, a your own life. When we come together to meeting, we serve one another. But remember, you need to be clean. You can't do your sinful life and then come together and meet and then serve. We can't do that. Because the house of God is pure, it's clean. So we do need to build a house of the Lord. But we need to ask the Lord to help us, to purify us. Of course, no one is perfect. But now we have the blood of Jesus. He can cleanse us. But we can't say, oh, because we have the blood of Jesus, so we can sin. We can't do that. We need to fear God. And ask the Lord, Lord, I want to build your church. I want to build by you. I want to serve you. Help me to be clean. And even if I'm not clean, may your blood cleanse me, cover me, so that I can serve you with a clean hands. This is our attitude. And at last, the last message. The last message is, I have chosen you. When someone wants to respond to God's call and build a house, those people, they belong to the Lord. The Lord said, I have chosen you. I will destroy other things, other nations, but I have chosen you. So because of the time, I can't go into details what I prepared. But the message is, God asks us to call us to build his house. Don't mind, just mind for our own things. How does it relevant to us, to people in Calabria, in the youth, relevant to the youth, or relevant to the young adult here, the high schooler here, or the parents here, or the other adults here? I think if we are the high schooler or the people at year six, I encourage you to take up your responsibility to be built in your spiritual life. If you haven't know the Lord, you seek the Lord. If you have already know the Lord, follow him, and so that you can grow spiritually, grow up. If you are a young adult, I encourage you, because you're already young adult. For those young adults, you have believed in the Lord for some times, you need to grow, take the responsibility to grow continuously, and take care for the younger one. If you are a parent, you also need to build the house of the Lord. How do you do that? You shepherd your own children. If you have high schooler, I encourage you, come to English meeting. Because English meeting is not a meeting just for high schooler, just for young people. No. English meeting, Calvary English meeting, is a family, is a congregation. It's not a young people meeting. Because in the Bible, the parents need to take up the responsibility to teach God's words to their own children. In the Bible, talk about the church, teach God's words to everyone, young to old. But for the younger one, there's another particular responsibility, is for the parents. So how do we build a church? We care for the young people in our own home. We shepherd them. So I encourage, no matter what age we are at, we learn to build the house of the Lord. Remember, these people, they're people, they have loved the Lord. 16 years ago, they have a very zealous heart. They forsake a lot of comfort and settlement in Babylon. They are already maybe very settled, very comfortable life. But they moved to Jerusalem in order to build the house of the Lord. People sitting here today, you might have a heart for the Lord in the past. But don't be discouraged. Today is the time to build the house of the Lord. No matter you are youth, you are young adult, or you are parents. Take up the responsibility and respond to the God's call to build the house of the Lord. So for the parents, encourage you to come and walk with your children, especially when your children is in high school. And you are in high school. Don't think I'm too young, no. In high school, it is the time for you to grow stronger. Don't think that I'm already go to Sunday school, I'm going to go to English meeting, I'm fine. It's not fine. You keep going to the church, it's not fine. You need to grow very strong. Because when you grow up, you will face a lot of challenges. You need to have a strong heart. You need to know the Lord well. You need to know the Bible well. So that you have a strong spirit and strong heart to follow the Lord. So not only for youth, not only for young adult, for parents as well. Don't think that my children come to church every Sunday is fine. It's not fine. It's not fine. They need to be strong. They need to grow strong, stronger and stronger and stronger. Otherwise, they can't face the challenges of this world. So I encourage you, no matter what age you are, build the house of the Lord. And walk with your young children. If you are young children, walk with your parents. Walk with your parents. Encourage your parents to read the Bible with you. Encourage your parents to discuss spiritual things with you. So, my time is up. Actually, I prepared a lot, but I hope that this message is clear. Build the house of the Lord, no matter what age you are at. Let us pray. Lord, we commit these words to you. We commit the book of Haggai to you. We pray that, Lord, you speak to our hearts, surpassing our limitation. The limitation of speaking, the limitation of listening. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts so that we can all rise up like the people in the book of Haggai. They all repent and rise up to build, to rebuild your temple and give glory to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.